BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
In our number three of the program here on Tuesday morning, and coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be joined by the new City Council President, Shane Burgo. But until then, 508-996-0500. And we just had somebody that was calling in. I might have accidentally hung up on you. I apologize. I might have hit the wrong button, but feel free to call back in if you would like to do so. And if you missed me making the announcement earlier, tomorrow in this hour, in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by the Long Island medium herself, Teresa Caputo. She is coming to Medford, Massachusetts, to the Chevalier Theater in February for two shows, and she's going to join us tomorrow to let us know all about it. And that should be a fun conversation. No readings, though. I don't let mediums read me, and I'm certainly not going to have, you know, on the morning show, I don't think it's a good idea to have a bunch of readings, phone calls. But we'll talk to her about her gifts and about what people can expect from the show. So if you didn't see the article about Council President Burgo's election to the council presidency, you can read that at WBSM.com. It was a 7-4 vote. Councilors Ian Abreu, Leo Chiquette, Joe Lopes, Sean Oliver, all voting for Councillor Oliver as president. And then Councillor at Large Brian Gomes asked, after Councillor Burgo had won the council presidency, he asked for a unanimous vote as a show of support and solidarity. And in that vote, both Councillor Chiquette and Oliver were no votes. Councillors Abreu and Lopes voted in the affirmative. So, and Councillor Gomes gave an impassioned speech in which he called out New Bedford Light columnist Jack Spillane by name and criticized radio moderators, talk radio moderators. I'm assuming he means Chris McCarthy. I don't think he means me, because I'm the one telling you about what I was calling the Burgo boogeymen, the things that weren't really true and that weren't really actual plans that Shane Burgo has ever said that he planned on doing. So we will certainly ask him about those things and about where he stands on them. And, of course, we'll take your calls at 508-996-0500. But conversations and ideas are what elected officials are supposed to do. They're supposed to be willing to listen to the proposals and the concepts and the ideas that might bring about the change that is needed. Otherwise, how do you move forward? Otherwise, things become stagnant. And certainly, you can elect somebody because they have their own ideas, but you should also be electing somebody because they're willing to listen to other people's ideas as well. Years ago, when I was working in a restaurant, the owner of the restaurant, who was involved in local politics, as a behind the scenes. And we were very different politically. He was staunch conservative. And he tried to encourage me to run for selectman. And I said, what do you want me to do? Like, what am I going to do as a selectman? Well, I'm not a property owner. I don't own a business. Like, I don't think anybody's going to want to vote for me for selectman. And I said, and besides, if I was a selectman, I would want to poll people about what they think about things rather than, you know, my own. He's like, well, never mind. You'd be a terrible selectman then if you're just going to leave it up to the people. People don't want to think for themselves. They want to elect somebody who will think for them. I was like, well, I don't know about that. 508-996-0500. Let's take some calls here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. So, his first day in office, and he's already late for his first radio show.
No. He's on his way in.
He's on his way in, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, typical. If we go by his...
Well, I mean, if you want to put it like that, what time are you going to work today, Carlos?
It's typical of him. I'm always at work, so 24-hour thing, bud. I don't even understand that question.
Well, I just don't understand why you're taking a shot at somebody because they're late for a radio interview.
Because he's typically late for everything.
But that's not the thing that he was elected to do.
Well, it's annoying as hell when your supposed leader is late, but constantly, and he's a part-time, according to him, he's a part-time counselor, but his speech last night, he's going to be a full-time president, so we'll see. I'm going to hold him to it. He says he'll answer everyone's questions, he'll be available, all that, so I'm going to hold him to it. We'll see if he ignores questions coming from certain people, or if he's going to be fair with everyone and answer everyone's questions and accept everyone's emails. Or I wonder if I'm still going to be on his block list because him and I don't agree politically. He's totally shut me out. So we'll see. And you don't think it makes a difference whether or not our president is late to everything? You really don't?
We didn't have an actual time of when he was going to come in either. We just said in the 8 o'clock hour. So maybe that's on me.
Less time for people to reach out and speak to him, I guess.
All right. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. You have a good day.
And actually, can I call back when he's on?
Yeah. Yeah. When he's here, you can call back. Sure.
All right. Thank you.
All right. And let's take another call here. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yeah. Good morning. I'm going to be listening to Shane, but I'm going to be at the gym. But just one question I would like you to ask him is my concern, and he's new to this. He's just starting his job. Is the rate of the percentage of what supports the city payroll on private, not commercial, but like the average homeowner tax rate? Like, mm-hmm. What percentage of that is the budget? Because, you know, when I bought my house in New Bedford, I still New Bedford, I love New Bedford. I think it's a great city. And I think was like $400 my tax rate. And I know that was 30 years ago, but now it's almost six. Like, in essence, like, we want affordable rent, but and that's just the tip of the iceberg. You've got that. You've got the water bill every month, which I didn't have. I can't really think back 30 years ago. And the cost of your property taxes, your insurance. So that's a lot to take on. I would love to be able to rent, one of my apartments for $800-$900 a month. But, you take what you're paying for the mortgage and your taxes and your insurance, it's really difficult. And if he had any answers to try to slow down the raising of the property taxes for the homeowners of New Bedford. And I'm going to be at the gym, so I'll be listening, and I'll be curious to see if he has any thoughts on that. And I'd like to give the guy a shot to do a job and evaluate, give him some time,
so
and
just
see what he can do.
Just to be clear, your question is what percentage of the budget the residential taxpayers are funding?
Funding, and anybody that owns a home in Bethel will tell you how much they keep going up and going up. And is there any way to stop this,
From my understanding, and I'm not a homeowner, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but from my understanding, the tax rate hasn't changed, but the tax evaluations have gone up because property values have gone up.
I'm not positive on that, but that may be okay if you're going to sell your home. You know, that may be, but like, what good does that do me? I'm living, I'm going to die here. You know, it's still a burden. And I know Shane was talking about affordable housing, and I think I've talked to you about this before. You know, they build these buildings and they call them affordable housing. And I'm affordable for who? You know?
Right.
Not really for the working man. And I don't know. That's just my concern is the property tax rate and affordable housing in the city. And how do you make it affordable? What it costs to build them and maintain them and the water bills and insurances, et cetera, et cetera. I'd just like to hear, you know, how he thinks he's going to deal with this, because I would think a lot of voters are concerned about the rising rate of property taxes in the city.
Yep. No, absolutely. Definitely. I've seen a lot of people posting about that on social media this week. So we'll definitely get
all
into
right.
that.
I'll be listening to you, and good luck this morning with him.
Thank
this
you for the call.
First interview with president of the city council.
Have a great workout.
Thank you.
And 508-996-0500. Oh, well, one thing you can do if you want to save some money is you can take a look at your electric bill, which is another thing people are posting about, especially this week. If you have electric heat, you're going to be paying a ton this month, because we're going to go through a cold spell like you wouldn't believe. So right now, you're going to want to start thinking about whether or not you want to move to solar, because solar is the way that you can actually save money. Now, it's an investment up front, of course, but there's financing. There's all kinds of plans to help you be able to pay for your solar panels, but that's an investment toward the future, because eventually you're going to be getting free electricity. And eventually the electric company is going to be paying you for the energy that you are generating. So is that true? Am I telling the truth? Well, the only people that can really let you know for sure is Isaacson Solar, because they will give you simple, honest, direct answers to all your questions about going solar. And they can answer you about how much they can actually help you save. All you have to do is reach out to them at isaacsonsolar.com and set up an appointment. They'll come to your home, they'll take a look, and they'll tell you if your home is a good fit for solar. And if it is, they will give you a free, no obligation quote. Check out their Facebook page as well, so you can see some of the really innovative ideas of how they can integrate solar into your home. They can make it so that you don't even realize there's solar panels on the property. So again, isaacsonsolar.com, ISAKSEN, isaacsonsolar.com. Why don't we take a break here, and when we come back, we will be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo, and we'll take your calls at 508-996-0500. I do have some questions I'm going to ask him first before we get into the calls, so just be aware of that. But we will take your calls, and he'll be with us for the remainder of the hour. And we'll be back in just a few moments. All right, and we are joined now by the newly elected City Council President, Shane Burgo. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing all right. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I apologize for arriving later. I know that this gig doesn't come with a presidential motorcade, you know,
well,
contrary to popular belief.
I'm sure there was some celebrating happening last night and time with family and all of that.
Yes, so. My brother Wayne was here from Virginia. He actually just left this morning. So I was saying goodbye to him. I was very fortunate that he was able to join us last night. It's not very often that all of my brothers are actually in one place, especially, you know, growing families and being in different places. It's difficult sometimes to get us all in one place. So it was a very special moment last night to have us all together.
And so let's talk about the council presidency. What do you see the role of the city council president of New Bedford as being?
Yeah, you know, and I'm so, you know, I think that's a great place to start. Obviously, that's why I'm here, right? First and foremost, I want to thank my colleagues, all of my colleagues. You know, I think, again, one of the narratives out there is that we're so divided and dysfunctional. And I think that's why the position of city council president is very important. It is a significant role, because how I want to explain to people the what we've seen recently, obviously, the public pressure of you need to vote for this counselor or that counselor. Of course, we're elected officials. The public should always be involved in the work that we do, because we were elected to serve our constituency. But I want to explain that how I view the role of a counselor, for example, when we're elected as, in my role as a counselor at large, to represent the 100,000 plus individuals, or if you're a ward counselor, the 10,000 or so individuals within your particular district, that is your role that you've been elected to. And so in that same regard, the council president is elected by those 11 in that body. And so that council president then is set out to represent that body and make sure that they have the tools and resources they need to represent the people that have sent them to that chamber. And so for me, it's challenging to see it explode the way that it did last night, I guess, leading up to it, because it's always been, I think, customary, as you know, I think you talked about it in your article last night. Councilor Gomes attempted to make it a unanimous vote. That is something that has always happened in the past, where once the vote has happened, whether it's 6-5 or last night's vote of 7-4, the council then, to show unity and to show that we need to work together, whether we agree or disagree on an issue or a vote, to show unity behind the person who's going to lead these meetings. So to recap here, essentially, as a councilor, an individual counselor, you're there to represent your constituency. And as president, you're there to represent the institution and to protect the work of the colleagues there, so that way they can represent the very people that have sent us there to do the work of government.
And a council president doesn't enact their own agenda or put their own, you know, plans into place.
Correct. And so... It's comical to me, because if anything, if your concern about me being council president is, oh, he's going to become the president and do all of these things, if anything, as council president, you're hand tied, because as council president, you can't actually speak from the dais unless you give up the gavel to then rejoin your colleagues in the chamber. Because again, as I've just explained, the role of the council president is to protect the chamber and the institution of that body, and to make sure that your colleagues, all 11 of you, have the ability to use your voice and to use that platform that you've been elected to. And so for me, that's why it was important that I did run, because I felt, especially in this time that we're in, this political world that we're in, that's so divisive, that we have someone who is able to unify, especially a number of people across the political spectrum. I know that people like to give me a label of being a leftist lunatic or a progressive or liberal. I am a very proud Democrat. You know, I make no secret of that. But one of the things I like to highlight is that the role of local government, we purposely here in Massachusetts are nonpartisan. When I first ran for office, the reason why we're nonpartisan is because when I was knocking doors in Ward 5, I knocked doors. So there's a lot of Republicans in Ward 5, okay? And they asked me at one point, you know, who are you voting for? Who did you vote for in the 2016 election? And I very proudly said, I'm a Democrat. I voted for Hillary Clinton. And they said, oh, you know, they had voted for Trump. And at the end of the day, they said to me, well, if my trash doesn't get picked up, can I call you? If I need my tree trimmed, you know, if my tree, if my street light goes out, can I call? You know, these are the issues of local government. You know, I was talking to someone the other day. I think it was Tip O'Neill. I wasn't talking to Tip O'Neill. Sorry, I was talking.
I could help you with that. We get the Ouija boards in my office.
I was talking to someone the other day about Tip O'Neill and how, I believe, you know, his saying was, all politics are local. But now it seems to be the exact opposite, where all politics are national. Mm-hmm. And so we've gotten away from, you know, those kitchen table topics. And I think that's what we really need to get back to, because the people of New Bedford do not care about my Democratic, you know, national politics, because that's not what is affecting their tax bills right now. For example, obviously that's the main topic people are focusing on as they're opening up their tax bills and they're looking at that. And this council, I would say, has worked very well together to trim the budget, which is what ends up resulting in potentially higher taxes.
I actually, I made this point the other day that your personal politics are different than your counselor politics, because it's you're not looking at it from a party perspective. As you said, it's nonpartisan, but also it doesn't factor into what's going on, because who are you answering to? The people, and the people are voting for you from different parties. You can't be the number two vote getter amongst the council with not pulling in from all sides. So I think that people, like you said, it's become the national conversation. So people want to label you as something. And so therefore you have to be for something because on a national level, they're for something. For example, defunding the police. Mm-hmm. That is something that has come up quite a bit where there's, you know, one of the Burgo boogeymen, as I've been saying, is that New Bedford won't be able to get police officers because the city council president believes in defunding the police. You said to Jack Spillane, you have never said that. You have never come out and said that publicly or privately.
Correct.
I'm just going to ask you right now, are you for defunding the police?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, I don't know anyone in New Bedford that is for defunding the police. No elected official. Not even the organization. I know that's been characterized even of the organizations that support me, which is why some that have tried to stick that label, defund the police, on me have said, oh, well, if you don't support it, the people who support you support it. And that's why they're trying to stick it to me. But honestly, even the organizations that have come out to support me, I have never seen them do that. It goes back to national politics. And I think also because of, for example, I think back in 2020 or 2021, when the Black Lives Matter movement was occurring, again, when national politics came to local government here, they are, because of the national movement around what the conversation was around Black Lives Matter and what that meant, again, people are trying to tag me with all of the things that might have gone around that. And then even when I've come out and said, I'm not anti-police, I'm not, you know, all the other acronyms that have gone, they have mischaracterized my position. Or even because I've been affiliated with the NAACP, or some people know it as NAACP, they now refer to it as NAACP, but I've been a part of the NAACP since I've been a child. They nationally are against SROs, school resource officers, but I have stated that I support SROs. So I'll say it again here on the radio station, because I feel this is the other thing that has upset me, is people can make charges against me and say, oh, Shane said this, Shane said that, even though I haven't. And then it's apparently incumbent upon me to have to come and now dispel that. But my defense is, well, if you didn't actually hear me say it, why do I now have to come defend myself? If I had to come and defend myself every day on the radio, I would never get any work done. So I just want to make that clear to all the listeners here on WBSM. I'm not going to respond to every single lie and, you know, falsehood that's put out there against me, because if so, I would never be able to serve in office.
And also, you don't have the kind of day job where you can just stop what you're doing and make a phone call into the radio station.
Yeah. And you know, and this actually segues really quickly, if I could, into, you know, another comment someone keeps making about a statement I made about us city councilors being part-time and that I'm a part-time city councilor. I'm not saying that I only do part-time work as a city councilor. I'm just stating a very clear fact. We are paid as part-time employees. The city charter states that we are part-time city councilors, unlike, for example, Boston city councilors, who are paid a full-time salary, have full-time staff, and are work an actual full-time schedule. They work during the day because they're full-time. And so, you know, for example, this is what I was attacked for during my Affordable Housing and Homeless Affairs Committee meeting, because out of respect to my colleagues that also work a full-time job like myself, so I can afford to live and work here in New Bedford, we need more time to be able to digest the information that we receive here. You don't want us city councilors to just make haphazard decisions. We need more time to review information, review documents, especially when it's 85 pages or so. So I made the comment that, oh, we're part-time employees and we're working just ourselves. We have four clerks in our office that do amazing work. They're full-time, but they're four clerks that do the work of our entire city, and they're also helping all 11 of us counselors. So that's the point I'm trying to make, is not that we're doing the part-time job, but that we're paid part-time and that we're we are actually part-time employees. But if you do this job correctly, it is a full-time job. We are on call 24/7. And the constituents that know, they can call us, they can message us at any point in time if they have an issue.
You feel you've always been there if somebody does.
Of course. And those constituents know that. And that's why, for me, you know, another saying that I always take solace in is, you know, live in such a way where if someone says something about you, no one will believe it, because, you know, and that's all I've ever lived by, is that I would just continue to be who I am and do what I do. And the people that know me know what I'm about and who I am. And I, that is just what I live by, because those who want to believe the lies are just people who obviously don't actually know me or have seen the work that I actually do.
And callers, we will get to you. We're gonna skip the news. Sorry, Phil. And we're going to get to all of these calls, but I just have a few more questions that I want to get to so that we can kind of maybe avoid some of the questions that people will call in with and be more to the point. So another thing that has come up quite a bit is during the exploration of possible solutions for the homeless crisis, the idea was floated about a centralized encampment for the homeless.
Yes.
A so-called tent city. And you had said that someone had suggested it to you and that you were looking to just kind of have a conversation about that. I'll just ask you point blank. Do you want to see a tent city created in the city of New Bedford for the homeless?
So, to be very clear, I've said this multiple times, especially I believe it was on the Chris McCarthy show. We have tent cities in New Bedford. And that's why I think it's pretty sad that we, you know, keep categorizing as Burgos Tent City, which is just disgusting, first of all, that, you know, we want to make light of this, you know, situation. We have tent cities in New Bedford, and they're not my creation. This is why this issue is so important. This is why we need to have these conversations and not just ignore it. It's easy for us to just go back to our warm homes and say, oh, we'll try again tomorrow. We need to have these uncomfortable debates. We need to be able to look for these solutions. To answer your question, sorry. The reason behind bringing in these New Bedford outreach workers who wanted to discuss this really had to do with the Supreme Court ruling around, I believe it was Grant Pass versus Oregon, which now we know it was back in June at the time the ruling finally came out. I'm trying to remember now exactly how it transpired, but oh, the homeless, they were being ticketed. And essentially, after so many tickets, if they didn't pay, which obviously they could not pay, they were being arrested. And then after 30 days of being arrested, they would be released, and then the same thing would happen. They were being ticketed because they were sleeping out on the streets because they had nowhere to live. And so we're seeing that same thing happen in Fall River. Fall River has enacted an ordinance, and if I could really quickly segue away, this also has to do with something I had mentioned in my affordable housing and homeless affairs meeting, which might be a question you're going to ask me about my attack on the police, supposedly, which again is another mischaracterization of what I said. I have never said that the New Bedford police have weaponized, have been weaponized against the homeless. Play the clip again. I never say that. I'm reading from the Technical Assistance Collaborative Report, the TAC report, that they had interviewed one of the homeless individuals that said they feel as though police are weaponized against them. And that report is made up of all the cities and towns within Bristol County. And I never uttered the words New Bedford. And I used that line to then speak to Chief Connolly, our Chief Operating Officer, excuse me, Christina Connolly, and to get her on the record to make sure that we do not go down the same avenue that Fall River is going down. Play the clip. And then when my colleague obviously thought that I was going some way of trying to accuse the New Bedford Police Department of something nefarious, again, at the end of the meeting, I clarified. I said, whoa, Chief Oliveira, I just want to make it clear. This was not an attack on our police. I know you all do an amazing job. This was not an attack. And he even says, oh, no, I wasn't talking about you, counselor. Like, and I said, okay, great. I just want to make sure, because I said, I know how people like to twist things. I say that. You can go back and look at that exact meeting where that clip, the earlier clip, is played. They don't play the other part where I explain, like, whoa, wait a minute, because I know how people like to twist it. So I thought it was funny because here we are. It ends up getting twisted. But to go back to your, again, to reiterate, the quote-unquote tent city, the tent cities are here in New Bedford. They will continue in New Bedford if we do not come to the solutions that we need, like building more housing, making it affordable. The rising rents are going to continue. Right now, the homeless encampment discussion is on pause because it's not something that is necessary anymore. Originally, the idea was proposed because if the Supreme Court ruling did not go the way we thought it was going to go, essentially what was going to happen was if the Supreme Court said you cannot criminalize homelessness, if New Bedford, for example, we don't have enough shelter beds. And so if they came along, for example, if the individuals that we have sleeping on storefronts, sleeping in our parks, sleeping all over, as I just mentioned, New Bedford already has tent cities all around our, in Ward 1, in Ward 2, throughout all of our wards. Go back and watch the committee meeting, and the New Bedford outreach workers outlined in every single one of our wards, from Ward 1 to Ward 6, there are tent cities in every single one of our wards. And if the police went and said, oh, you cannot stay here, if the city was unable to provide them a location to go, they could stay there. And that was what was potentially going to happen. So this was our way to be proactive and say, well, let's have a location where the city could send them since we don't have any shelter beds. But now it's essentially null and void because the Supreme Court came out and said, yes, you can criminalize homelessness. And even if you don't have a place to send them, it doesn't matter. You can send them to jail, which I think is disgusting.
It is.
But so essentially now the homeless encampment discussion doesn't matter because essentially the city has no legal ramifications if they do send them to jail, or just tells them, oh, well, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a place for you to live. We don't have a shelter for you, but you can't stay here. So you just have to walk around aimlessly, and we're just going to keep pushing you off to the side. And so to answer that question, there will be no homeless encampment site in Ward 1. I know that's been the talk of the city and the talk of Fairhaven for whatever reason. But no, there will be no homeless encampment run by the city of New Bedford.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a break here. And then when we get back from the break, callers, we will get into some of your questions for now Council President Burgo. And we'll be back in just a few moments. All right. We are joined by Council President Shane Burgo, elected last night to that position. And now let's take some phone calls. So I don't want people to feel there's a lot more questions and a lot more things we could discuss. But I don't want people to accuse me of saying, well, you didn't take any phone calls. So let's do that. Good morning. You are on with Council President Burgo.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I was called yesterday. I'm wondering what's going on with this New Bedford the cigar tax. Last week, I was paying with tax 98 cents for a Black & Mild. Now all the stores want $4 for a single Black & Mild. That's 300% tax on a cigar. That's less than a dollar.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about this, Counselor. Are you familiar with this cigar tax that's causing these increases?
I am not.
So I don't know. I think you might be getting misled here.
No, it's on every store. It's a little piece of paper, and it has a New Bedford tobacco control number on it.
I'll have to look into that.
It says New Bedford
Health
on it.
All right. Well, the council president said he's going to look into it for you.
All right. I'll call back next week to find out what's going on.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. Let's take another call here. Good morning. You are next with Council President Burgo.
Good morning and congratulations, Ms. Burgo.
Thank you.
Just a quick question, because I'm kind of actually ignorant on the intricacies and mechanism of the city council. As the president, mm-hmm. would you be in charge of assigning chairmanships going forward?
Yes.
And in regards to that, how will you weigh who gets that chairmanship? I know you've spoken on how your personal and national politics don't play a role. Will you allow that to play a role in that aspect? And then just on this here, organizations in the city, will you allow them to influence the direction of the council?
So, yeah, to answer your first question, I think that's a fair question, actually. I don't know if it necessarily, I guess there might be some kind of implicit bias of if I would assign committee chairmanships based on my political views. But no, I wouldn't, because what I will say is, like, for example, I think it, you know, it's no secret, for example, Councillor Linda Morad, for example, is one of the more conservative members on the council. And I think I shared in the past, and I know I've shared with her personally, that she was one of the people that I told her I didn't think I was going to like her at all, because of the fact that, it, you know, politically in my mind, I was like, well, I'm you know, a Democrat. She's a very proud Republican. I'm not going to agree with her. But she ended up being one of the most helpful colleagues when I first joined. When me and Councilor Pereira first got on, she was one of the most helpful counselors, making sure we understood, you know, the process of being new counselors. And I've built a really strong relationship with Councilor Morad, even with our opposing political views nationally. So I don't know if that necessarily will play a big role. I think, but I think that's a fair question. To answer your second question, if, again, outside forces, these organizations will play a role, I can tell you very clearly no. No outside forces will play any role. Well, actually, the only outside force is probably maybe my brothers. Sometimes I bounce ideas off of them, or I do have close friends that I trust, that I will sometimes say, hey, what do you think about this? But other than that, no nonprofit or other organizations that have, you know, obviously actual agendas and mission statements will be, you know, helping me decide on committee chairmanships.
Okay. All right. Perfect. That's what I needed. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. We do have a call that came in on the VIP line, so let's go to that. Good morning. You're on with Council President Burgo.
Good morning, Council President Barry Sylvia, lifelong Democrat. Congratulations, sir. Councilor Burgo, question for you, and it tails with a question that this the previous caller just had. So are you going to, depending upon how the council's vote was either for you or against you, is that going to have any weight as to how you assign committees, sir? And I have one other question.
No. Wouldn't.
Good answer.
Yep. Yep,
good answer.
Great.
Again, I'm a little bit, I have kids that are your age, so I've been a Democrat a lot longer than you. Why didn't you just come out and answer these questions? These are simple questions that we've all had, the callers on different shows. Why didn't you just come out a lot earlier and explain your position so that way they wouldn't have taken on a life of their own, and your fellow counselors who may or may not get reelected now, why didn't you come out to protect them, sir?
Well, I don't spend all day listening to WBSM. I'm sorry, Tim. But
you know, you could listen to the podcast later.
Yes, I usually do, especially after people tell me, oh, did you hear what they said on that? What I do think is a little bit disingenuous is typically other hosts will text me to say, hey, this is going on. Like, do you want to come in? And I guess I don't find it surprising that I wasn't asked to come in, usually because they don't like the challenge of actually debating with me. But no, as I mentioned before, because of my schedule, I didn't find the need to have to come in and to respond to every single allegation that was lobbed at me. And I also feel that my colleagues don't need me to protect them. They speak for themselves. They are all very strong-willed, independent individuals. And I also feel that, again, as I said before, the constituency of New Bedford, they're very smart people. The few listeners, obviously, that call in that live in Fairhaven or Dartmouth, that call in that are very strong-willed and only listen to one individual, no matter what evidence is presented to them, they're always going to believe whatever that one person tells them. But other than that, I always will believe in the people of New Bedford to know what is right and wrong.
I appreciate that. And one last thing on my departure here. Senator McLean's name was mentioned last night by Brian Gomes, and I worked with Senator McLean for many years. And just a piece of advice I would pass on to you, young man, is that if you can't be on time, be early. And by listening to these constituents, it's called paying attention. But good luck, because you represent the city now, and you represent everything that we, that costs us money, and hopefully it gets done properly.
Yeah, and Mr. Sylvia, real quick, before I let you go, I know that I believe I, listening to one of the podcasts, you mentioned something about not being able to get in touch with me. My phone number is on the city website, and really quickly, my cell phone number is 508-542-9658. So feel free to reach out to me anytime you want to talk, because I am not Joe Biden and I do not hide in my basement, and I do get out very regularly. So anytime you want
to
chat, please call me anytime, because I am an actual active Democrat.
Thank you, sir.
You have a blessed day.
Thanks, Barry. And also, just really quickly, too, I mean, having your name out there, even if people are saying things about you, I mean, people are still talking about you. So there's weight in that. There's value in that.
Well, one thing I'll say about our 45th and soon to be 47th president, Donald J. Trump, one compliment I'll give him is I think one of the things he said is, you know, whether it's good or bad, as long as they're saying your name right and spelling your name right, it's all press is good press.
It's B-U-R-G-O.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, and even Barry Richard at one point when I first got elected would call me Sean Brigga. So I'm just glad that now he's gotten it right as Shane Burgo.
Well, hey, you've got a Shane and a Sean on the council. As people get older, it gets confusing, trust me. Let's take some more calls here. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are on with Council President Burgo.
Good morning. So I just want to clarify something. The other night we had Councilor Crying Ryan from Ward 6 at a landlord association meeting announcing that you no longer support rent control / rent stabilization. Is there any truth to that?
So to correct your statement, because I know you love to just make falsehoods again, that is not what Councilor Pereira said. What Councilor Pereira said is that rent stabilization is not happening in New Bedford, which is a true statement. Yes, that is correct. Rent stabilization or rent control, whatever you want to call it, is not going to happen here in New Bedford or in Massachusetts at any time.
So you do support it. You do support it.
Do support what?
Rent stabilization?
I do.
/ rent control?
Yeah, rent stabilization. I do not support rent control, which is something I've said multiple times. And then I have explained the differences between rent control and rent stabilization, which is obviously not something that you want to worry about, is explaining the differences between the two. I know that's hard for you. But if you ever want to have that conversation, I would love to sit down and have that conversation with you about the two differences. But you can also listen to the podcast here on WBSM about the conversation I've had with Chris McCarthy. Go back on his episode and listen to the differences between rent stabilization and rent control.
Well, I'll try to reach out to you like I have in the past without any return. I'll have my email address at
shane.burgo@newbedford-ma.gov, which you've never sent me an email. But again, my phone number is 508-542-9658.
And I only put out the facts 100%.
And all of my information's on the city website.
But I'll continue to put out the facts, whether you like it or not.
If that's what you call it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. All right, let me take this last break. We got to take callers. Hang on. We will get to you. We still have just a really quick break here. I got to get out of the way. All right, we have about 4 minutes left with Council President Shane Burgo. And before we take these calls to finish things off, I will say that we've been having a discussion, and we are going to bring back the segment where you will be a regular guest here and address the council business with the listeners.
Yes, I think it's important that we have some, again, as I mentioned before, the role of the council president is to make sure that someone is here representing the institution of the body and bringing you the actual facts of what's going on in the city government.
And you want to be able to come in and do it and take calls from people.
Yes, exactly. So we'll set that up when that's going to be starting, especially at the, I think this 8 to 9 hour hopefully works for you. It does for me, especially with my work schedule.
All right. Let's try to finish things off in the 3 minutes we have left. So try to be quick with your questions. Good morning. You are next with Council President Burgo.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Councilor Burgo, I've got a question for you. I just wanted to try to explore any relationship between you and the organizers of that anti-Semitic march that happened not long ago down Union Street. I've heard that you were there, and I'm just curious if you were aware of the politics of the organizers out in California, like a socialist something.
Yeah, I'm not aware of anyone in California, but I think I know what you're referring to. But yeah, I wasn't marching anywhere, but I was in attendance at
rally here in New Bedford as an elected official to listen to speakers that are very passionate about the atrocities that are happening in Palestine. I'm not anti-Semitic, and I'm not pro-Hamas, if that's what you're getting at. Again, another mischaracterization out there. You won't see any videos of me speaking at any rallies or holding signs or chanting any things that I won't repeat now, because then the recording will be used against me.
True.
But yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I mean, as Tim knows, and people out there know, that these things can follow us, our associations. So I was just curious if you were aware of who you were actually there supporting.
Yeah, again, as I mentioned, I'm not there.
Hold on, let him answer, because we only got about a minute left.
Again, as I explained, I'm not there supporting anyone other than the people of New Bedford. As an elected official, I was there observing. You know, unfortunately, I'll just mention it. You know, I know it was former Mayor Scott Lang was here again. Unfortunately, I'm not sure why he was mentioning me being pro Hamas or whatever else he was saying about me. It's very unfortunate to see someone that I do respect, you know, peddling these falsehoods and giving credibility to that narrative. But again, there are people out there that want to believe what they want to believe.
All right, I got to hold you there, because we're out of time. Thank you.
Enjoy your day.
You
take
as well.
It easy. And we are out of time, but we will have you back. We'll figure it out and when it can happen, and then people can call in with more of their questions for you.
Sounds good.
All right.